Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program, what we like to call Satsang, is being recorded for Saturday, April 1st, 2017, April Fool's Day, huh? Haven't we all been fooled in one way or another? Anyway, I'm very grateful that you chose to be with me as we take a look at some questions on commitment. People have a great deal of difficulty with the whole idea of commitment. While we're on that subject, I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as the TV programs you see on my website at aspire.org, are all there because of donors, of people who have made, well, you would call it a commitment, but to me, made very loving gifts to sustain these programs to serve you. You're listening to these programs because these people were willing and able in their heart, in their soul, to make a donation of all proportions. And your donations are the only thing that keep this radio program and my TV program sustainable, able to bring them to you. So if you're getting anything out of this, I really hope you are. I hope that you will consider becoming a sponsor and helping us to maintain our radio programs and our TV programs. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you'll see why support Aspire. Just look under support. You'll see why I support Aspire. And if you click on that, it'll tell you all the nitty-gritty about where your donations go, how they're used, and why they're so necessary. So, I hope you take the time to do that. It'll be very helpful to those who are listening now, future listeners, and help you because you're benefiting as well. Let's go to the word commitment. I get lots of emails proportionately about so many things, most things that are not really in the category, I would say, of an authentic spiritual practice. But I don't think people are much interested in the development of a spiritual practice in their life. They just don't understand it. They don't see the need for it. And most Americans are extreme when it comes to what they like, what they don't like, what they want, what they don't want. People are very angry right now, more than ever before, and probably because there's so many more of us on the planet, it just kind of looks crazy. But anyway, here, let me read the dictionary definition of the word commitment. The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or an activity, a pledge or an undertaking, an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom from action. So I think it's more when people think in terms of commitment, I think they're thinking more in terms of the third one, an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom from action. So, as if we have any freedom at all. So the first question comes from David in Cincinnati. No, I'm sorry. This isn't that, David. I'm sorry. Forgive me. From Florida. David from Florida, F-L-O-R-D-I-A. It's right there. Come on, Greg, read it. And this is what he has to say. I have many commitments, Greg, in my life. I have family, kids, work, etc. When I listen to you and watch some of your videos, it seems that your idea of a spiritual practice would add to more commitment on my part. Am I right, David? Well, David, if I'm going to work in the framework of your thinking, if I'm going to work in the framework of how you think of things as commitments, as you define them, yes, it would be much more a commitment than an honor, than a privilege, than a devotion. When you are looking at your wife, are you committed to her? Is your love a commitment? For most people, that's the way it looks. That you love someone and then you say, I'm committed to you. Those magic words that men say, I will take care of you. you know, that kind of thing. It is a commitment, something you have to do that would restrict your freedom, an engagement or obligation that would restrict your freedom. So most people would look at that and say, yes, you know, marriage is a commitment. Well, if it is, it's a business deal, okay? And a marriage and a spiritual practice are much the same in my estimation. When you fall in love with somebody, as it is said, then do you fall into commitment, obligation that restricts your freedom? If you've ever been truly in love, whether it is in love with another person or whether or not you're in love with love itself, which is very rare with people, but some people achieve it, there is no such thing as obligation. And there is nothing that restricts the freedom. In fact, you become more free. When you truly are in love, you become more free. To other people, it would look like maybe a commitment that would limit you. But when you're in the depths of a deep love, a profound love, a love that exceeds the whole idea of germinating your life into the whole sickness of human obligation, human fear, human hate, you start to look at things from a different point of view. You start to look at the meaning of your life as it is, and you find that this love sets you free. You find that this love frees you from the bonds of your own mind, your own emotionality, your own fears, your own anger. And now what you have quasi-committed to has now set you free to live in a depth of love that you have never known before. If you think you're in love with someone, if you're truly in love with someone, you're not committed. You're liberated. And the same thing would be true with a spiritual practice. If you truly, truly are in an authentic spiritual practice, you are liberated. You are not confined. You are not confined to thought, to body, to emotion. You are actually liberated. An authentic spiritual practice is not about being woo-woo. Woo-woo meaning that you adopt a certain philosophies and beliefs that have all sorts of metaphysical meaning to you or someone else. No, no, no. When you are truly, truly committed to an authentic spiritual practice, you are liberating yourself. And the practice is the path to that liberation, and it becomes that liberation. But most people do not look at it that way. They do not have that sense of awakening inside. They don't want to be restricted. People want to believe they're free. You can't be free as long as you and I think from a mind that is captured by the body and emotionality. A mind that is set into the body and emotionality of the body is never free. The body always wants something. It's hungry. It has to pee. It has to poop. It's tired. It needs exercise. It's changing. It's got barnacles on its belly, and you've got all sorts of issues, sexual issues, urges. You're never free. You want to think you're free? You're not. Nobody is free in the body. So you've made a commitment just by being in a body. A spiritual practice is about liberating my mind from the ideas and the fears and the obligations of my emotionality. And when I do that, I get to set a new course for my entire life. And to me, that does not look like an obligation. The practice that I offer, David, is meditation. Yes, there is inner work to be done. There's inner disciplines to practice. Yes, there are. And they are the same kinds of things that when you are deeply in love, you don't mind doing because you know where they lead. You know where they can take you. They can take you into the presence of a goodness that lives within you that, well, is incredibly, incredibly refreshing, liberating. When you fall in love with a woman, as people will tell you, you come into a place, David, where you feel this bliss. You feel this, the glory of a new life. But as you trudge on into the relationship and you get to know her, and really you get to know yourself, not her, you begin to realize you're not free at all. And what you thought was freedom isn't freedom at all. It's that you run up against the boundaries of your own idea of love. And the practice is about to liberate you from those boundaries that you call love, or that you call your life, or that your mind has defined as right and wrong and good and bad. So it's up to you how you want to work it. It's subjective. It doesn't sound like to me you would liberate yourself through a practice. It looks to me like you're a worker bee. From what you've said here, you have all these responsibilities and commitments with your family and all of that in your work. Everybody has that. It sounds to me like your life is a labor and you're looking for a little light between the cracks of your demands and your responsibilities. And that would not be the way an authentic spiritual practice would work. So I would agree with you. You probably would not be able to do this. But should the day come and you wear out enough inside and you can drop some of your opinions as you get older, which you hopefully will, you'll see that, oh my goodness, this whole thing, this whole event of my life has been lived topsy-turvy. Maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to see what it's all about and you'll want to make a commitment. I don't see it as a commitment, but you might. To me, it's all about love, and I joyously go about it. It's so beautiful to me. Don't waste your life troubling yourself over things that don't matter. Live for those things you can take with you through death, David. Trust me on this one. Please forgive me. Namaste. We get very caught up in our lives, in the minutiae of our living, and we forget what it's all about. The next question comes from Nancy, and she does not tell me where she lives. For all of the work a practice takes, it seems to me that there should be some kind of payoff. Is it worth it? Do we become enlightened? Nancy, everything in this life is subject to us. I don't know what kind of person you are. I don't want to say yes, and I don't want to say no, because I don't know you. I don't know how determined you are. I don't know how willing you are. I don't know your inner core. I don't know. But if you are searching for that which lives beyond the idea of birth and death, if you are searching for something that would awaken you to the prospect of living beyond the mediocrity of the pedestrian mentality, then yes, this practice, spiritual practice, where you are disciplined enough to do your meditations, to practice them, to allow them to pulsate through you, to allow them to change you, to free yourself, to liberate yourself, then yes, they can be quite meaningful. But if you're looking for just the cure to the common cold of your life. I mean, if you're looking just for the idea of, well, if I put this over there and I place this up here and I don't do this over there, will I get it? Then no. A spiritual practice is not mechanical. It flows. It's like music. It's like art. And it flows through you. And the more duality I have, the less that can happen. You have to be non-dualistic in your thinking, in your demeanor, in the way you live your life. When you were willing to give up your duality, the right, the wrong, the left, the right, the up, the down, when you are just willing to go with the ebb and the flow of your beautiful life and feel that beautiful life in you, then everything changes. You find meaning and substance in your life. You find the ability to have some kind of otherworldly experience in this lifetime. And it is so beautiful. It is so meaningful. It can be an invitation to something so strongly, inherent in you, that you can't resist it because it lives within you. You don't have to go get it. You don't have to achieve it. You already are it. It is about awakening to the part of you that is already awake, achieved. It is already happening here and now. You don't have to invent it. It isn't a philosophy. It isn't a religion. It isn't like politics. It isn't about hate or fear. It is about love. It is about tenderness. To be so tender with your inner self that you don't need to desire or want anything other than just what is occurring in your life right now. We have a saying in Zen, want what's happening now. If you are okay with what is occurring here and now, then you are in the midst of something quite beautiful. It is the effort to go into that beauty that matters. And when I go into that beauty and I seek it with all of my heart, my soul, my strength, I come into a place where meditation, the disciplines of not talking to my emotionality, not allowing my emotions to make decisions for me, becomes quite obvious and quite simple, actually. You look at it and it is so simple. Henny Youngman had the greatest joke in the world. Doc, it hurts when I do that. And the doctor says, then don't do that. That little joke that was told 50, 60, 70 years ago is truly the way it is. All I have to do is stop doing that. And you can do this practice, really. Anyone can practice it, but how far you will go in it, how much you will allow it to change you, how you will allow it to uplift you, to bring you to transcendence is another thing. I don't know. This is the part of the equation that is the most difficult. When Jesus said in the Beatitudes that we had to hunger and thirst after righteousness, he knew what he was talking about. You have to want this with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. Every inch of you has to be wanting this. What is the this? To liberate. To come to that blessed place where you are no longer captured by human emotion, human passion, human thinking, where you are able to transcend and experience what it is to have a mind that is not in conflict with itself, a mind that is not a thinking mind, a mind that is simply what we call a matter of emptiness. When that emptiness occurs and you are not cluttered by the weight of your own thoughts, you will find you are liberated. And that your quasi-commitment to the practice was really a commitment to your heart and soul. That there was meaning in your life, and there has always been meaning in your life. But we forgot that meaning. We were so busy being in our mischief that we forgot what it's like to be in the meaning of our life. Just work on it. Practice. It is worth it. I found it to be worth it very much. And anyone who's ever achieved what I am talking about knows what I mean by it's worth it. The question is it worth it not to do it? That is the real question. Please forgive me. Namaste. The whole idea of worth, it's a subjective idea, and it causes duality in our thinking. Kind of have to have that ability just to go forward without thinking about going forward, just going forward. The last question comes from Paul in Los Angeles. How do I know, Greg, if what you're saying is right? I mean, how do I know? This could all be a sham. Please explain, Paul. Paul, if it what I say to you, if it resonates in your heart, not in your emotions, in your heart, then you know. If it doesn't resonate in your heart, one of two things. You either don't know what your heart is, and you think it's your emotionality, which is what the pedestrian mentality does. It thinks that emotions are feelings, and they're not. Or you haven't discovered your heart yet. So you need to discover your heart. And that's all I'm pointing at right now. You don't need to worry about, am I right? Just find your heart. Ignore me. Go find your heart first. Go live your life to find your authentic heart. Forget about the things I'm trying to help you with. If you find your authentic heart, that will be enough verification. When you find your heart, you will know. You will be led to those who also have found their hearts. And you will know exactly what to do. And you will know exactly what is true and what is not. People who have not found their heart or are not interested in finding their heart have no interest in an authentic spiritual practice. They like to think about other things like what's right, what's wrong, what's good for them, what's bad, what's their highest good, what's their lowest good. They're interested only in their earthly experience of what is comfortable for them. They never find the authentic meaning. How do you know if I'm right? Don't worry about me. How do you know if you're right? If you're right within yourself? It is the way you and I posture ourselves inwardly that allows us to recognize that which is true from that which is not true. And when you understand that, that's when you come to a very beautiful place in your life where authenticity lives, where the true sense of authenticity lives. Then you know. You can feel it way into your bones and beyond. You can feel the depth of it. So forget about what I'm saying to you. Before you even come near me for work, inner work. You have to come to that place where you know your heart. And once you know your heart, then you know. You will recognize me because you will know. I am the part of you that has yet to be discovered. Go discover it. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Wow, great questions. If you have any, whoops, wow, what was that? If you have any comments or questions or anything I can help you with, you know how to do this. Come to the website at aspire.org. There it is. And go over to media. You will see Satsang with Suraj. That's me. Come and make a question or ask a question or whatever it is that's on your mind. You listen to past radio programs for centuries that I've done. So go and enjoy yourself and know how grateful I am that your question might have helped someone else. Have a beautiful day. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.